John chapter 1, verses 45 and 46 to begin with. We'll consider more of that account here momentarily, but take a thought from this account from the early days of Jesus' ministry, where in John chapter 1, verse 45, it says, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.' And Nathanael said to him, 'Can anything good come out of Nazareth?' Philip said to him, 'Come and see.'" Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for this privilege, Father, of being called to you. Father, just as Jesus said to his disciples and just as those bore testimony to others, Father, you have made us welcome to come and see what you do, what you are willing to do, what you will do in your people and for your people and even through your people. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can be those useful vessels that we sang of just a moment ago. Father, help us to be so. Help us to be willing to be so and to submit, Lord, to your hand that you might make us those useful vessels. Bless us tonight, Father, as we consider how we might allow you to draw good from us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a privilege, certainly, to introduce Jesus to, well, introduce Jesus to one who doesn't know him. And it's always, well, I hate to say it's a little bit fun. That's not really the right term for it. But it's a bit fun to see someone when the light bulb goes on and to recognize when they realize who Jesus is. And it's just a little bit fun to watch Nathanael, as he was so incredulous here and voiced his incredulity, to watch him go and be introduced to the Son of God and recognize him for who he is. Now, it's kind of foreign to us as I look around here, each one of you having known the Lord for some time, most of your life, if not all of it, just about. You don't know, again, it's kind of foreign for you to even consider not knowing the name of Jesus even before you were a believer. But Nathanael didn't know the name Jesus of Nazareth, at least not until he'd heard it the first time in his adult life there. And so it was for the rest of the 11 that Jesus called. There was a time where they recognized at some point, this Jesus, this man Jesus, is the one that Moses, the law, the prophets, all of these things in Scripture that we know of to this point, they pointed to this man, to this guy, if you want to just belittle it to that, to this guy is the one. He's the fulfillment of these things. Again, we know Jesus for who he is. We have hindsight. We can look throughout his foretelling, the prophecies about him and his own life. These ones didn't have that. And so Nathanael was duly incredulous when it came to verse 6 there. And he said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I don't know anything about this. But I know about Nazareth, and it's a little bit surprising to me that anything good would come from this little backwater town, perhaps, or whatever reputation it might have had." When I was in Colorado, coworkers, well, let's just say it this way, they were less than impressed from my history of coming, not just from Kansas City, but, you know, having grown up in Kingsville and the like. Kansas City, what is there to do there? And I would be like, yeah, that's a solid question, really, you know. It's when you... There are no mountains in Kansas City. You know, Kingsville isn't known for its vast ocean, you know, beachfront property, obviously. So I'm like, you know, it is what it is. I never argued that. But, you know, I didn't tell them to, I didn't say, come and see. Come to Kingsville and see what there is there. But that's exactly what Philip said to him. He said, come and see. Can anything good come from Nazareth? You know, don't take my word for it. You come and see it for yourself. And sure enough, Nathanael went, and he saw and he recognized the truth that the greatest good came from Nazareth. The greatest good that he would ever see, the personification of goodness, did indeed come out of that small town, Nazareth. And yet again, as we considered here recently in a couple of lessons, God brought something rather improbable, impossible from a place. Well, something delightful from a place that was just improbable and unexpected. And it's left to us to open up our eyes just to see that and be willing to recognize that. Now, one of the sweet parts of the story is how it goes on. and what Jesus showed to Nathanael. And you're familiar with this if you've been in this, well, under my ministry for very long, because I've preached out of this a couple of different times. But in verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit, no guile," in the King James Version. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And so what I take from this, at least for our consideration this evening, is that Jesus never calls. It was Philip that called to Nathanael, "Come and see." But Jesus called to a number of other people prior to this, and certainly since this, as he's called us as well, "Come and see." He doesn't call us to do things, well, that he hasn't done himself or isn't capable of. And what he did was he had already come and seen Nathanael himself. Nathanael was beckoned to come and see Jesus, and Jesus had already been to see Nathanael. Now, again, we don't know the details behind that, what exactly he saw under the fig tree, what exactly that meant, but it convinced Nathanael without question. He'd already come and seen Nathanael for himself. And what he had seen there, whatever the case might have been, was he saw godliness, he saw a man who had the potential for deeper faith, greater faith, service to him, ministry, a place in his disciples. He knew of Nathanael's, well, search of the scripture that Philip talked to him about and said, the ones that Moses talked about, the one that the prophecies speak of, it's him. So there was a familiarity on Nathanael's part. He understood that, and Jesus was able to see that in him. Jesus has that awareness. Revelation 2, verse 23. He says, "I am he who searches the minds and hearts." He does do such things. He searches everyone's minds and hearts, even when he walked here. It says that he knew all men in verse 24 of John 2. "And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." He knew what was in Nathanael. And furthermore, not only does he know what was in man, what is in man, he knows what can come out of and what can be drawn from each man. What can be, by his own hands, reached in, stirred about, responded to by us, and pulled out. There's something there. Jesus knew that something good could come from Nathanael. He knew discipleship was going to be there. He knew faithfulness was going to be there. He knew that blessing for others was going to be there. He knew that he could draw testimony out of this one. And we see him beginning that in verse 49 of John chapter 1, when Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He recognized it. He came and he saw, recognized that Jesus had already been to him and seen. And he responded to that, and set off on the right foot with the Lord Jesus. Now, why do we care about Nathanael? Why do we care about all of these ones that we consider? Why do we look at their lives and their issues and their victories and all of that? Of course, so that we can consider what it means for us. And the simple truth for tonight is that Jesus still knows man, still knows us. He has himself come into your life, each individual that's here, and he has looked into every single individual here. And I don't know what you carry, what burdens you have on your heart tonight. I don't know what burdens you've had throughout your life or what burdens are yet to come. But you know that, well, Jesus hasn't seen fit to judge you into death just yet, has he? And so he looks into your heart and he recognizes there's good there. Good that he can reach in by his Spirit, stir what is in your heart and what is present there. You can respond to it. And he's willing to draw good out from you. That's a blessing when you think about that. We consider being a useful vessel to him. That doesn't just mean that we're just all together, just a screwdriver that he can just go stick our heads into some specific work or put us over here and use us as a tool. There's something that he's trying to draw out of us. We know what he's trying to do. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he wants to take himself and let that be fostered in us, drawn from us. Philippians 1:6 says that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not done. I kind of get tired of those songs and the cliches when people say it kind of just tritely when they say, "Oh, he must not be finished with me yet. I'm still walking this world." Well, it doesn't just mean that we walk the world waiting for him just to finish us, waiting for him just to take us by the hair My dad used to grab me by the little hairs back here. He could make me go anywhere he wanted to. The Lord doesn't want to grab us by the little hairs and take us anywhere he wants to. Yeah, he's not done with me, so he's just going to have to just start grinding on that. No, that's not what he's looking for. He wants to reach into your heart. And he wants to perhaps give it a little bit of a squeeze, and he wants you to respond to that. And he wants you to know, there is something in me that responds to him. It is that new man. I need to walk in that direction and let him draw from me what he knew he could pull from Nathanael, what he knew he could pull from that one who he had already come, already visited without Nathanael even knowing. He's known you since before you were born, before you were created. He's known you from the beginning. Saints, he can draw faith from you. He can draw tenderness from you. He can draw victory from you. He can draw obedience from you as he stirs your heart. By his Spirit moves that into you and you respond. Can anything come good? Can anything good come from Nazareth is what Nathanael asked. Can anything good come from this? Can anything good come from this? Absolutely it can. Absolutely good can come from you, from Christian, Maddie, Rachel, Scott, Garrett. I could go all the way down the line. Good can come from you. Allow him to squeeze that good out of you and let it overflow in joy and obedience and submission to the Almighty God. He's already come and already seen you. Let him draw from you the good that is present there and grow it in your lives.